Alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified Jesus and the criminals there, one on his right, the other on his left. Now one of the criminals hanging there reviled Jesus, saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." The other, however, rebuking him, said in reply, "Have you no fear of God? For you are subject to the same condemnation. Indeed, we have been condemned justly, for the sentence we received corresponds to our crimes. But this man has done nothing criminal." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus replied to him, "Amen, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." The Gospel of the Lord. Today we have the great privilege of love to come together and pray for our beloved dead, for our family members who have gone before us marked with a sign of faith, for those who will die today or have already died this morning, those whose funerals are being celebrated today, for those who have died in wars and natural disasters, for those who have died through the tragic practice of abortion and euthanasia, for all those who have died, we come and we do the spiritual work of mercy of praying for all the dead. We do so for a few reasons. First reason is because, contrary to the most popular heresy today, everybody who dies doesn't automatically go to a better place. Our life matters. Whether we choose to love God or not matters. Whether we choose to love our neighbor or not matters. Whether you choose to be faithful or unfaithful, to do acts of virtue or acts of vice, our human life matters. Second reason, because not everybody automatically passes go and gets to heaven after they've died, it's always been considered the greatest act of love for our loved ones to pray for them. We heard in today's first reading from the second book of Maccabees, that is a worthy thing to pray for the dead. And the church has always considered it one of the most worthy things that we can do. We Christians grieve when we lose our loved ones. But as St. Paul tells us in his first letter to Thessalonians, which we heard, we grieve differently from all the rest, those who have no hope. We grieve with hope because we know how much God loves those for whom we pray. We know that they can need it. Pope Benedict, 12 years ago, wrote a beautiful encyclical on Christian eschatology called Spe Salvi. We would have heard that expression earlier this week, that we are saved in hope. And in it, toward the end, he said about those who go to hell, that they're the ones who have been so thoroughly corrupted. And we've seen them in our own recent history, he said. Clearly he was thinking about Adolf Hitler and the various genocidal leaders of the 20th century, perhaps. But we've seen it in our own time that they can definitively self-alienate from God. On the flip side, those who go to heaven are those who are so suffused with the love of God that death is nothing other than a change of address. But then he says, curiously, the vast rest are those who seem to be, by their actions, in neither category, and those who would need to be purified, because, as the book of Revelation tells us, only those who are thoroughly clean can enter into God's presence. So for the vast majority of people who die, they're in need of our prayers. And third, we know that the greatest prayer we can offer is Christ's own prayer from the upper room and from Calvary, which saved us. And save, we pray, them, provided that we receive it within. gospel, we have that beautiful dialogue between Jesus and the good thief. The good thief is dying. He had lived at least something that got him arrested and condemned to death. He was probably not confused with the Blessed Virgin Mary in his lifetime. But he still had a deep goodness. And when he saw Jesus being falsely accused, when he saw the malefactor in the middle enduring his pains differently than everybody else, he first just defended him. It's the only good deed we know he did. But then with an act of faith, he turned to Jesus and asked something absolutely shocking. He asked a dying man who would in fact expire before this good thief would to remember him. It was an act that death wasn't going to be the end, at least for Jesus, because one of the greatest wishes of somebody who's dying is that somebody will care, somebody will remember after they go. He was asking a dying man to remember him because he had a sense that Jesus was different. He also knew that he wasn't losing everything. And in fact, he was entering into something profound. Remember me when you enter into your kingdom. He recognized that Pontius Pilate had been actually a prophet in the inscription he had put over Jesus' bloody head. He really was the king of the Jews, and perhaps far more than the Jews, king of the universe. And Jesus responded with the largesse befitting the King of Kings. He doesn't even merely promise to remember him, but to transport him. Truly, I tell you today, you will be with me in paradise. We see what eternal life is. Eternal life is not just something. Eternal life is a relationship with Jesus, who is life. And that great scene right before he raised Lazarus from the dead, Jesus said to Martha, "Your brother will rise. I know he will rise in the resurrection of the last day." They had obviously talked about what happened after death when Jesus would visit them at their home. "Do you believe," he said to Martha, "that I am the resurrection of life? Whoever lives and believes in me, even though he dies, will live, and no one who believes in me will ever die. Do you believe this, Martha?" In other words, the resurrection is the relationship with me. She responded with true faith, "Yes, Lord, I do believe that you are the one coming into the world. Because I believe in you, I believe in what you say." And then he raised Lazarus. It's the same thing for each of us. Relationship with Jesus, when that is alive, when that is living. In death, he does for us what he did for the good thief. That's why at every Mass we ask for what the good thief asked for. Paradise, and we get a down payment on it. In the sixth chapter of St. John's Gospel, Jesus promises us, "The one who gnaws on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day, and nobody who lives and believes in me will die." Today we come forward to receive that great gift of eternal life within us, asking for the grace to remain always in holy communion with him so that we might experience with him paradise. And we make this prayer likewise, together with him as body and head, as bride and bridegroom, for all those that Jesus courageously mounted Calvary to save. Praise be Jesus Christ.